is at hand. Is that what is happening today? The kingdom of God is at hand, so somebody needs to be saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. For this is he that's spoken of the prophet Elias, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Sounds like they were having revival. Amen. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptisms, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meant for repentance. Amen. If you want to come to God, you got to bring something to him. Amen. You got to bring your old life. You got to bring the things that are weighing you down, and you got to give them to God. Amen. You can't just come empty-handed to God. You got to come with a made-up mind saying, God, I'm giving you everything. I'm giving you my past, my present, and my future. Amen. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Thereof every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat unto the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it be so now. For thus it become us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Amen. The Lord bless you tonight. You may be seated. We're going to be talking about John the Baptist tonight, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Amen. In John chapter 5 and verse 35, the Bible says that John, that he was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. The Bible says in John 1 and 6 that John was sent from God. That's important to be sent from God. Amen? In our lives that we live here today, it's important that we're sent from God. And I believe that whenever he fills you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you got everything right in your life, then it's time for him to send you out, amen, and to witness to other people and to help them get ready. Amen? But we are sent from God to people who need help. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. But in our day, today, we're supposed to tell people about Christ too. We weren't really the forerunner, but we're maybe the afterrunner. Amen. It's important for us to witness to people. Amen. Maybe some of the things that are going on in our society today is happening because the church has stopped witnessing. The church has stopped being bold like John the Baptist. John the Baptist lost his head because he spoke out to Herod and said, hey, the woman that you got, you should even be with her. That's your brother's. It's your brother's wife. And it eventually cost him his life because he was very vocal. Amen? Is it time for the church to be quiet? We should be screaming from the top of our lungs as loud as we can saying this stuff is wrong. Amen? Amen? I was looking at a video on Facebook earlier, and there was these protesters, and they were all out there acting crazy, and There were these preachers up there trying to, you know, encourage them, trying to, you know, witness to them, and all it was doing is making the protesters mad. And man, it's just, it's the spirit. It's the spirit of the Antichrist that is moving over this land. I was talking to my youngest son the other night, and he started crying. He was like, well, Daddy, you know, what's going to happen, you know, in the future and stuff and all this? And I said, son, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of us. Amen. He's going to take care of his children. Amen. We may have to go through some suffering. We may have to go through some pain. But he's going to take care of us. Amen. Don't never give up on God, because he ain't never gave up on you. Amen. The Bible says, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Amen. Amen. But John the Baptist, he was almost like a meteor light flashing through the dark skies. And as he came, you know what darkness is, right? It's the absence of what? Absence of light. So John the Baptist was like that bright light coming through a dark world. And when John the Baptist went off the scene, his light went away. But the light came on the scene. Amen. Jesus Christ at that point came on the scene. Amen. But John the Baptist, his fame went out. Amen. He was very humble, John the Baptist was. He had a purpose. And his purpose was to be a forerunner of Jesus Christ. To tell everybody, to warn everybody, hey, you better get ready. You better get your sins right, sins taken care of, excuse me. Verse number 6 says, and they were baptized and confessing their sins. Amen. I'm going to start meddling here. I better stop. I'm supposed to be teaching tonight. Amen. As a forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist was privileged to introduce to the world the first coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah called him the voice. Aren't you thankful to be the voice? Amen. We are the voice of Christ. And if you don't think we're the voice of Christ, amen, you need to reread your Bible. Because we are the voice of Christ. How are people going to hear about God, and how are they going to be one to God unless we speak out and unless we witness to them, unless we encourage them? Amen. Amen. Not only did his fame catch the attention of the world of the first century as light penetrated the darkness, but also the sound shattered the 400 years of silence. Because in the book of Malachi, from the book of Malachi until this happened, there was about 400 years of silence about Jesus Christ. Nothing was said. Nothing was mentioned. I mean, can you go 400 years without hearing about God? And then all of a sudden, Matthew talks about this forerunner. Amen. About John the Baptist being the forerunner of Christ. Amen. Although many went out to the wilderness to hear John, and a lot of them responded and they were baptized into repentance, there were some of those who stood on the sidelines and criticizing. Are those ones that are criticizing today, criticizing you and your life and your walk with God? You're trying to do everything that you can to live for God and do what's right. And there's people that are trying to knock you off your ladder, trying to discourage you, trying to, you know, tell you, I don't know why you're doing that for. There ain't no God. And you know deep down inside that there is a God. Amen. But there's always going to be those ones that are criticizing. They were in Jesus' day. Amen. And if they were in his day, you know they're going to be in our day. The one thing we cannot do is we cannot be violent with those people. Amen. The Bible talks about love. That they will know that we're his disciples by what? By our love for one another. This shooting that happened in I believe it's South Carolina, North Carolina. Those people who were hurt, whose moms were lost, whose dads were lost, they have been showing so much love to this man that came in the church and done those horrible acts. They're showing love to not only him, but they're showing love to the whole nation, to the whole world. They are forgiving that man. Hey, I don't know what was going through your mind, but we forgive you. And who knows? I was talking to my wife the other day. I said, babe, who knows what that young man went through in his life that had to bring him to this point that he's at right now, just to hear somebody say, hey, I forgive you. Is it possible that God used all this, used a son to lose his mom and so on and so forth, just to get to one person? The Bible says that he will leave the 99 and go search for that one. I believe that there's a purpose and a reason for everything in life. Everything happens for a reason. And it's possible that the Lord was just trying to reach that young man through somebody's love, through their compassion on him. Amen. Because we don't know why people do what they do. And if you try to understand them, you're going to be confused too. You know? But John the Baptist was a straight shooter. And because he was a straight shooter, we said earlier, he eventually lost his life. Amen. Because he wasn't silent. He was straightforward with everybody. He said, hey, you're doing this, you're doing this. You better get your life right. Now, people nowadays, they always put up that first line of that, judge not, of that scripture, judge not. Oh, you're not supposed to judge me. I told you about the young man that I used to work with, and, you know, one day we were talking about some things, whatever, and I was like, you know what, that's probably not good that you're doing that. And he leaned over and he said, well, thank you for doing God's job. Because he was, you know, trying to say that I was, you know, trying to judge him and all the other stuff. But, hey, I'm just, you know, looking at your fruits, being a fruit inspector. Amen. Amen. Are we supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit? I was just inspecting his fruit, and it wasn't good fruit. Amen. That apple wasn't very good. That love wasn't very good. Amen. When John the Baptist was about 8 years old, his parents brought him to be circumcised. And they all the family members who were in charge there, they wanted to name him Zacharias because it's after his father. But Elizabeth spoke up and said, no, he's supposed to have the name of John. And when the angel came to Zacharias, he told him, he said, you're not going to be able to speak until his name is proclaimed. So they brought him some papers, whatever, and he wrote on there, his name is John. Then he was able to start speaking again. Amen. The Bible says in Luke 1:64, and his mouth was open, and immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. What would have happened if his dad hadn't never followed after that and just said, let's just go with tradition? Sometimes tradition has to be broke. Amen? How many times have you talked to somebody and they said, well, my mom and daddy, my grandparents were Baptist, and you know, my great-grandmama lived this way, so if it was good for her, it's good for me. You ever talk to anybody that says that? Sometimes it's good to break tradition. Amen? And I believe that that's what God was trying to do here. He said, hey, instead of you being called your daddy's name, amen, his name will be called John. Amen. And at that point, then his dad was able to speak, and he immediately, his tongue was loosed, and he spake and praised God. Amen. John the Baptist was thus called to be a prophet even before he was born. Sister Everett, I remember when you testified in the youth class about a month or so ago, one thing that you had said is that you said that God seen you when you were in your mother's womb. That's what the Bible talks about. He's seen us when we were in our mother's womb. Sorry. Amen. But John the Baptist was basically called a prophet before he was ever born. When in his mother's womb. So, little side note here. I want you to know that God sees every part of your life. Amen. He's seen you before you was born. And he's going to see you all the way to the end. No matter what the trials are, no matter what the tribulations are, no matter what happens in your life, he's going to see you through. Amen. Amen. Luke 1:15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Talk about being a spiritual man. Amen. God took care of him. Matter of fact, later on in the scriptures, Jesus said that he was one of the greatest prophets that had ever been born. John the Baptist. You know why? Because John the Baptist had a reason. He had a purpose for being here on earth. And he pursued that purpose. What is our purpose being here on earth? What are we supposed to be doing? Going to work? Coming home? Eating supper? Reading the newspaper? Looking on Facebook? Going to bed? Waking up the next morning doing the same thing over again? Amen? Our job is to win the lost, to witness to people. And I fear that church, our church life, anytime that we encounter anybody that is not of the same denomination as us, we immediately block them off and we cut them off because they're not the same like faith as us and we don't want to have any kind of confrontation with them. But if you're speaking to somebody that's Pentecostal who's already been saved, amen, you're encouraging them, amen? But they're already on their way of being saved, thank the Lord. The ones we need to be reaching are the ones who say that there is no God and say, hey, he's never done anything for me. We'll say, well, have you given him an opportunity? Have you ever came into the house of the Lord with an expectation on your heart and expecting God to do something in your life? Amen. Many students of the Bible believe that John the Baptist was under the Nazarite vow because Luke 1 and 15 talks about Nazareth, which comes from the verbal word meaning to separate. To explain in detail, you can go to Numbers 6, 1 through 21, and it talks about being a Nazarite. Those who took the Nazarite vow should drink no wine or strong drink. They could not cut their hair. They could not touch a dead body, even one of those who were his kin. It was a vow to become separated. Does the Bible tell us to be separated? We can't enjoy the things of this world. We can't enjoy the world like the rest of the society does. Amen? When you come to the Lord, again, you have to bring some stuff with you. You got to bring something to the Lord. And when you leave that altar, when you leave whatever place that you're at, when you have came to the Lord, he's going to give you something to take with you. Amen. He's going to give you what? Acts 1 and 8. Power. He's going to give you the power that you need to be an overcomer, to be able to witness to somebody, to be able to be bold and tell somebody about God. Amen. But we have to be separate from the world. We can't enjoy the pleasures of this world. Amen. We all know the scripture. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And a lot of folks stop right there. But the rest of the scripture says, turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. A lot of people want to come to church. They want to get a little bit of Jesus. They want to feel good. They want to, I feel awesome. And they want to leave church the same way they came in. Just a little bit of a chill. Amen. But if you really want to be on fire for God, you got to change your life. You got to change your lifestyle. Amen. Sister Nell, Tuesday night you're going to be talking about health and healthy foods and stuff, whatever. How do you become a healthy person? You change your lifestyle. Change your lifestyle. Amen. You want to stop being big? Stop eating Big Macs. When you go to McDonald's and they say, you want to supersize that? Don't say yes. Say no. Give me one of them salads over there. It's got the chicken on it. Amen. Instead of taking chocolate cake, amen, find something else that may be like low in sugar or something. I'm the one up here talking, huh? Amen. But I know that if I want to get my body right, I got to change my lifestyle. I got to start eating right. I got to start eating healthy. That's the same way of our spiritual soul. If you want to be happy all the time, if you want to have everything going right in your life, amen, change your lifestyles. Change the way you talk. Get rid of some stuff in your house. Amen? Be the person that God wants you to be. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. He tells us to separate ourselves from the things of this world. Amen. John the Baptist did it. And you look and say, well, Brother Bacon, John the Baptist lost his head. He did it for Jesus' namesake. Amen. Well, talking to my youngest son the other night, I got my whole family in there, and we were, you know, talking about, you know, things that possibly could happen, you know, in the years to come, whatever, months to come. At this rate we're going, it could be days to come. You never know. But, you know, just talking to him about, you know, there's possibility that, you know, this could happen, this could happen, this could happen, you know. But, I didn't want to, you know, scare him and stuff, whatever. But you know, I just want them to be prepared. Just want them to know, hey, you know, daddy might get thrown in jail. Something might happen for me standing up for God. Amen. But I wanted them to know that under no circumstance was daddy going to back down. Amen. Under no circumstance was daddy going to say, well, you know, okay, I'll do it this one time. Or, you know, we're, you know, I'll marry you this one time. Amen. Well, no, I'm sorry. The Word of God teaches against it. And I stand against it. Amen. Amen. Along with a lot of other things. But we got to separate ourselves. Amen. As a prophet of the Lord, John the Baptist lived a separated life. Amen. The Bible says that he dwelled in the wilderness, away from the people. How easy would it have been? Of course, they didn't have Walmarts back then, but they had something like, you know, that was comparable to a Walmart. They had some kind of market village or something. Something going on there. So let's just call it a market village. Amen. But it would have been real easy for him to, you know, go in there and just chill out with his friends and have a good time. But the Bible says that he was a man sent from God. Amen. He was sent here with a purpose. Amen. I'm going to get a scripture here real quick. Just popped in my head. Amen. Sometimes these electronics don't want to work with you. Amen. John 1 and 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. We are not the light of the world. He is the light of the world. But our job is to be a witness of the light that is basically reflected off of us. Amen. And if you walk around with a bad attitude and you treat people horribly, you're reflecting Jesus Christ. Today I was on my way to get me some lunch and there was a yellow light, so I started slowing down in the car behind me. I don't know if they were paying attention or not, but man, he got right up on me and you could see his mouth just, I don't know what he was saying. I was like, you know, there is no telling what God just kept you from on down the road. You know? The lights are not very long in Athens. They're, what, like 60 seconds, you know? Just wait. Wait 1 minute. You can really say that. Wait 1 minute. Amen. Just wait 60 seconds. You know, but I started thinking, you know, I wonder if he's a Christian. If he is, he just showed his light. Then I started thinking, well, how do I show my light sometimes? How do we show our light sometimes? Amen? When things don't go our way. When we're at the gas pump and we're trying to pump gas and the nozzle's not wanting to work and you're looking in at the store talking about, hey, turn on my pump. You know? I mean, you're trying to get somebody's attention, trying to get something going on there. Then you walk in there. And I was ordering my lunch today. I was like, well, that's not the price that was out there on the deal, whatever. And she said, well, sir, that was the kids' meal. And I was like, well, that's not what I wanted. And she said, well, would you like your money back? Start talking attitude. And I said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm sorry. I misread that. My apologies. Go ahead and just, like, that's fine. Because I felt that there was going to be a conflict there. And instead of changing her attitude, I changed my attitude. And I said, you know what? Just keep it. Just, it's fine. My mistake. I should have looked at it better. But I did see it for I was right, but amen. Amen. But we are a reflection of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be the light. Amen. Verse number 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Our world and our society nowadays, it was created by God. God created every bit of it. And it's like people are like slapping God in the face. Be almost like you would create something. And then as it got older and as it got older, it eventually turned its back on you and slapped you in the face and said, you didn't make me. We made ourselves. And I'm going to go do what I want to do. It's almost like having a teenager. Amen? Amen? It's almost like having a teenager. You tell them what to do, and it's like they slap you in the face and going about their own life. Amen. I think that's God's punishment to us, was having teenagers. Amen. It's just like, you know what? Here's your payback for treating me like you did. Amen. Verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. We were born into Jesus Christ. We were born into his spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. We got the power. There's that old song that says, we got the power in the name of Jesus. We got the power in the name of the Lord. Amen. We got the power that we can become overcomers, and we can witness, and we can be bold to people. Amen. Thank the Lord. The forerunner of the Messiah, of course, we know John the Baptist. He was a voice that was crying in the wilderness. And when he started talking about God and talking about the coming of the Messiah, it was basically in the first century. And we've already talked about how when the last of Malachi's prophecy, there was basically about 400 years that there was a time lapse there. Amen. God did not send John as a silent or a secret witness, but he sent him as the voice, crying in the wilderness. Hey, you better get your life right. Amen. Most of us have family members that have already been in the church, and they know what's right and what's wrong. Sister Dickerson, I can only imagine every time that you get with your kids and with your grandkids, you tell them, hey, you better get your life right. Amen. Sister Dickerson's told me that before. Hey, you better straighten up. Amen. So I can only imagine she tells it to her own family. Amen. That's the voice that God's looking for. He didn't send us down here, and he didn't save us to get our own self saved and to be righteous and, you know, holy, holier than anybody else. Amen. But he gave us something that we should hold on to. Just like Brother Everett was talking about Sunday morning, is God entrusted us with something special to go and to tell people about him, to witness to people about him. He trusts us to witness to people. Amen? Aren't you thankful that somebody witnessed to you? If I gave a mic to each and every one of you here tonight, you could tell me the person that witnessed to you and to help pray with you in the altar. Aren't you thankful for those top people that stepped out of their comfort zone and said, you know what? I think they might need Jesus. But because they stepped out of their comfort zone, you're here tonight. Maybe it wasn't you, but maybe it was your mom and dad. Amen. I'm here because of my mom and dad. They raised me in the truth. I am thankful that they raised me in the church. Amen. Some of you here, you could say, hey, I was raised in the church. We're thankful. Those who have gone away and who have came back, maybe some more than others, I'm thankful for the elders and for the ones who stuck around here because there was a place to come back to. So many times we overlook that and we just expect the church to be the church when we get ready to clean up our lives and come back. I'm thankful for the anchor that God has provided here at this church. Amen. That people would completely sell out their life to God. They would be like the John the Baptist, and they would say, you know what? I'm going to separate myself from the rest of the world, and I'm going to live holy like God does, like God expects us to. And when trials came to their life and when situations came into their life, no matter what it was, they just kept going. Amen? They didn't slip and fall like everybody else did, and when people were ready to come back to the church or to God, there was something here to come back to. I'm thankful for that. Amen. I know that y'all know, but I messed up. I was out there for a while. And I'm thankful to have a wife that she didn't give up on me. She didn't like the things I was doing. She was very vocal about it. Amen. That's what caused us to eventually split up. I was, you know what? I didn't want to listen to this no more. I ain't got to put up with this. I'm grown. But Kofor, I do what I want to do. Amen. Well, I found out real quick that thing called conviction was eating me alive. Amen. Thankful for that. But when I finally got everything in line and I was like, okay, God, I'm coming back, there was something to come back to. There was a pastor that was continuing to preach and to teach. Amen. There were saints in the pew who didn't give up when I decided to. Amen. They were like John the Baptist. They had that voice and they were very vocal. Amen. But they had something inside them that kept them in the faith. Amen. Parents should be strong to continue to teach their children what the Bible plainly teaches as right and wrong. It's very important. I don't know how to say this other than it's important. I mean, there's no other word. It is so important for us to teach our kids and our grandkids and our great-great-grandkids, some of you, what's right and wrong in the Bible. Again, if you don't teach them, somebody else will, and it won't be exactly the way that you want them to understand it. Amen. I'm thankful that we were able to, 6 years ago, homeschool our kids. There's no telling what we have been able to keep them from learning in the school systems. Amen. And now they are, I believe it's in Florida, they have started letting Christians like put some kind of like books and stuff in the library and in the school. And other religions are saying, hey, if the Christians can do that, then we can put our books in there. So now they have these coloring books, and it clearly says on them, satanic worship, and they're putting their books in the school systems, and the kids are being able to, you know, it's a coloring book. See how the devil works? He's not a man. He don't come out, you know, and just show himself of who he really is. But he's a little sneaky thing that, you know, always wants to come around and, you know, get into the children. He makes me mad sometimes. Amen. He knows he better not come around me. Amen. He knows he can't defeat me, so he tries to pick on these little bitty kids and get off in their minds and get them all, you know, warped and wrapped up. Amen. That's why it's good that we teach our kids what's right and what's wrong. We sit down at the dinner table with them. Amen. Well, Brother Bacon, that's not 1960-ish. Oh, we still do it at our home. Amen. We sit down and we all eat together. There are times that, you know, maybe something's going on or whatever, and we don't get a chance to, but every chance we get, we sit down as a family. And at the kitchen table, we're able to talk about all kind of things. You know, life is going on, you know, talk about God. Just kids just open up, not only for food, but for knowledge, and talk to mom and daddy. Amen. It's good. But we got to teach them what's right and what's wrong. Because the school system, if you're waiting for the school system and society to teach your kid what's right and what's wrong, hopefully this week has opened up your eyes that society is, they don't have it right. Amen. Again, I'm going to start preaching Sunday night's message if I'm not too careful. Amen. Isaiah prophesied that John the Baptist would prepare the way of the Lord and would make straight in the desert a highway for our God. See how that works? Jesus didn't come down with these big flashing lights, you know, and stars, you know, and a big parade of people saying, hey, I'm here. But he came almost silently, you know, in a manger. He didn't stay in some 5-star hotel that had AC and running water, and you know, in a manger. A little shed out there with some animals around, and that's how God is. He don't want anything like, you know, hey, I'm here. People, I'm here. Because he had a forerunner, John the Baptist, that was letting the people know, hey, y'all better get right. He's coming. The Messiah is coming. He's on his way. And if you look, I'm getting way ahead of myself, but if you look, the effective ministry of John the Baptist, number one is he exalted Jesus. He exalted Jesus. The next day, John seeing Jesus come unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I don't know if there was people around John when he said this, but somebody should have picked up on this and said, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Who is he? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. John 1 and 29 and John 1 and 36, for those of you who are taking notes. John never forgot his purpose. We can never forget our purpose, church. Again, it's not just to go to work, make a little money, spend it, go back to work, make more money, pay off the credit cards, and just enjoy life. We got a purpose here on earth. And our purpose is to exalt Jesus Christ. Our purpose is to win people to Christ. Our purpose is to win people to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. But he never forgot his purpose, and we can't forget our purpose. Amen. When the king arrived, John introduced him more than once with the salutation, behold the Lamb of God. Again, somebody should have been there listening to that and picked up on it. But because people were, I don't know if they were ignorant, they just didn't pick up on it. Amen. That this was the Lamb of God who was taking away the sins of the world. Amen. John 3 and 30, he says that he must increase, but I must decrease. Whenever Brother Grissom left, he was starting to lose a little weight. And that's what he said that he was on. He said, I'm on the John diet. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. Amen. So what we got to be spiritually. We got to get rid of ourself more and more and let God completely take over. I must decrease, but he must increase. Amen. And how do we do that? By daily devotions with the Lord, getting on our knees, reading the Bible, going before him and saying, Lord, I need you today. Amen. Relationship with God is what each and every one of us need. I know we say that a lot, but how important is a relationship, Brother Lozano? Amen. You've been married a while. How important is it, your communication between you and your wife? It's important. What happened if every time that she talked to you, you ignored her and didn't listen to her? Or vice versa. Amen. Brother Hart, how long would it take for Sister Hart to explode if she was trying to talk to you and you said, you know, baby, I don't have time for you right now? I know what would happen in my house. If I said, you know what, babe? Send me a text message and I'll get to it later. I'd have a broom and a bat and a pan and everything swinging in my head. Amen. But that communication level between you and your spouse is important. Can your spouse save you? No. How much more important is your relationship between you and God? Because He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. Amen. He's the one who gives life, and He's the one who takes life away. Just yesterday, we were sitting in a church, the funeral of a 35-year-old young man that had lost his life. Well, preacher said he didn't lose his life because we know where his life is at. Amen. But life was taken from him. Life failed him. But God didn't. Amen. But our relationship with God is so important. Especially as the time gets closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. Amen. If you're not completely sold out to God, there's going to be things that pop up that make you question. Well, should I or shouldn't I? Can or can I not? Amen? How many of you have those questions pop up in your ways sometimes in life? Amen. I know a man that has been divorced since 1989, and he has not had a girlfriend. He has not had any kind of sexual relations outside of marriage, but he has been since 1989. He's committed. He's committed to God. Amen. God will honor that faithfulness. Amen. Because nowadays it's so cool to the world. Oh, just go talk to homegirl over there. Shack up with her. Amen. Is that our world nowadays? We have family members. We have people in our family. Sometimes we have people in our own church, amen, that are living in that lifestyle. Amen. But I believe that God can deliver them from that. Amen. Amen. I believe that God can deliver them from that because it is a sin just like anything else. Amen. A sin is a sin is a sin. Amen. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Amen. Number two to John's effective ministry is he emphasized repentance. How important is repentance in our life? Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what we should be telling our neighbors and our brothers and our sisters. Hey, you better get your life right, because the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, does that mean it's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? I don't know, but you better get ready. Amen? Brother Adams, if we were going on a trip tomorrow and I said, hey, at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be at your house, and we're going to go to Dallas and fly to Hawaii. Amen. We're going to have a good time. I want you to be ready, 7 o'clock. And I got to his house at 7 o'clock, and he said, man, I'm trying to pack, you know, trying to get finished here. Hang on. I said, man, it's 7 o'clock, bro. I got to go. You should have had everything ready. And he's still trying to load up some stuff, and hang on, man. Can you wait 5 more minutes? No. I told you, 7 o'clock. Amen. Is that how it's going to be spiritually? When that trumpet sounds, if you're not ready, there is no, hey, you know, Lord, can we rewind that, please? Amen. You can't do like a little fast, you know, fast deal and take it back. Amen. You better get right. You better stay right. Amen. I know the things in this world are Bible says that sin is for a pleasure, for a moment. For a moment, for a season. And then after that, the Bible says that sin bringeth forth what? Death. Amen. It bringeth forth death. Number three is we have to be is John emphasized on baptism. Amen. Do we emphasize on baptism? Do we emphasize on repentance? Amen. Number four is he emphasized on straight living, living right, living your life holy and acceptable unto God. Amen. The message John preached was comprised of more. You would not have thought that this man lived in the wilderness. I mean, by his looks, but by the words that he spoke, he was much more intelligent. Much more intelligent. But he emphasized on straight living. And again, some people accepted it. Some people were baptized. The other people, Pharisees, Sadducees, and they were just criticizing. They didn't want to live right. There's going to be those people that you witness to that are not going to want to live right. They're going to have everything in their life going just right. They're not going to want to hear anything you got to say. Those people, you just got to say, you know, I'm going to keep praying for you. Amen? Keep praying for them. Amen. Let's stand here tonight. Last thing that John have for an effective ministry is he was commended by God. Again, John 1 and 6 says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not self-appointed. He was not self-proclaimed. He was not wanting the attention of all the people. Matter of fact, the people came. I mean, they were out there everywhere. And it would have been so easy for him to say, look what I'm doing. We can't have that mentality, church. If you invite somebody to come to church, if you invite 25 people to come to church and all of them get saved and men ain't filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't take that and say, look what I'm doing for God. No, look what God's doing inside of you. You're being a vessel that he is using. Amen. And he's working through you. We can't get a big head. There's a lot of preachers and pastors out there now who have that big head because, you know, well, look at my church. You know, man, we're growing, we're having revival, we're doing great things. And the Lord is thinking, really? You're doing great things? Amen. It's God that's doing the great things. Jesus said, yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. Among those that were born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. He was a burning and shining light. It is one thing to be called great by your peers and by your family members, but it's another thing to be called great by God. And that's what I want God to say. When it's all said and done, I want him to say, you know what? Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Amen. You have been good. You've been good. You have went out and done exactly what I wanted you to do. The purpose I had for your life, Sister Dickerson, you used it. I gave you talents and you used those. I provided you with finances and you turned around and you blessed people with them. You blessed the church with it. It's one thing to be called good and great by your family. It's another thing to be called good and great by God. Amen. See, the life of John the Baptist is somewhat similar to our life. God sent us. We're not the forerunners of Jesus Christ, but it's kind of like we're the afterrunners. Amen. We still have a job to do, church. Amen. And even though we are getting more and more people in here, I'm excited about that. We can't stop and say, well, you know, the church is getting full. The church gets too full, amen. We'll start breaking ground for a new one. Amen. Amen. We'll start breaking ground for a new one. And I got ideas on that we're going to talk about Sunday too. Amen. I'm excited. But I do know that God is with us and that we have a purpose, and our purpose is not finished. On the day that you draw your last breath, your purpose is finished. But right now, just like you said earlier, if God had a purpose to save you when you received the Holy Ghost and was baptized, he would have taken you on at that moment. But he didn't. He spared us for a reason, for a purpose. Sister Covey, we have a purpose to train little Spanish kids how to speak English. To train and to teach Spanish people about God and give them Bible studies. They may not be able to pay us. They may not be able to help us in our financial world. But what you are doing is you are setting up treasures in heaven. Amen? As you help people along the way, you are setting up treasures in heaven. Amen. God is going to honor that. Amen. God's looking for that from us, from each and every one of us. Amen. I think it would be good for us to gather around the front here just for a few minutes. You don't have to kneel. Matter of fact, I would like for everybody just to come around and just stand. Everybody, if you don't mind, please.